This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, bro, before we get to eating some chips, I got to ask you about something here. And good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
We're watching some dumbass baseball player do what Pete Rose did, except he has an interpreter.
Right.
Then we're watching.
Definitely to blame it on.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that shit is so fishy. It's just like it's like really it's disgusting. And then in Toronto, we got some idiot that's kind of like trying to, you know, fix his player props, you know, and So obviously that dude needs to be banned from the damn league. What is college football doing now that there's a lot of money, NIL involved, and all of those kind of things? What are they doing to try to avoid any of this kind of stuff? Because I know that, like, the NFL has those things that, like, if you play any of those games within the confines of property, it can pick it up and all those kind of things. So what are they doing? Because it's interesting now because, you know, there was always money in college football, but now it's wide open that there's big money involved for the players in college football. So having said that, a player could see one guy cashing in. He's not. Well, how else can I cash in?
Right.
You know, so I'm just wondering, what do you know about that? And what do you hear?
It's a great question, you know, and a great topic. I think, you know, last year people forget about this, but last year Iowa State had a bunch of players suspended for gambling. Their football program did, and it kind of disappeared after that a little bit. Iowa was another team. I think Iowa had some players as well. So clearly
Keith Sims was working numbers there at Iowa State.
He was.
I love you, brother. All right, go ahead.
I think it's something that's going to definitely infiltrate college sports more and more because, as you said, there's a lot of guys who are not making money in NIL, whereas their teammates are. You know, I got called in to help out with this story involving Temple basketball. The Athletic started digging in on that, and, you know, there were some sort of fishy reports coming out of Pennsylvania with Temple and their shooting percentages and their rebounding efforts and all kinds of stuff. So, look, I think the NCAA is trying to talk to athletes about this. They do have sort of, I don't want to say symposiums, but they certainly have, you know, every school has sort of a guest speaker that comes in and talks about gambling and why you shouldn't do it. And, you know, the NCAA has their rules, but ultimately this is just about whether or not you get caught, right? And I think all of these guys have a lot of different avenues, a lot of people around them that certainly could do gambling on their behalf, right? Or give them a percentage of whatever it is that they make on their own bet. So it's something that is going to be monitored as we go forward. But I also think it's something that ultimately it's too big of an animal right now, I think, for them to really police. So, and I think you're going to start to see, ultimately it comes down to the casinos, right? And their involvement and what kind of, you know, the betting apps, et cetera, how involved they're going to be in helping the NCAA out and get and passing along information and investigating this. I don't see this. This is big business for a lot of people, and ultimately, you know, it's only going to matter if you get caught. And I don't know that a lot of people are getting caught.
And well, no, I know. Well, they don't get caught because they probably listen to Chris Carter, right?
Just in case y'all not going to decide to do the right thing, y'all got a crew. You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to have that fall guy. So, and if it's not going to be Lee Majors, you're going to have to pick somebody else, you know? So it is a youngins. You have no idea what
idea what you talked about. They think you're talking about the new movie that's coming out, by the way. That's what they're thinking about. The remake.
You have no idea what I just said. But anyways, it is what it is. Not because all this crap going on and, you know, the Ohtani thing smells to hell. I mean, bro, this is
right.
Something's going to happen because there's going to be some independent investigating. Something's going to go on here with this Ohtani thing because it smells, dude. And he's the most important player in the damn sport. So it's like, they're going to do everything to cover this shit up, bro.
Absolutely. Baseball needs all the help it can get. And this is the kind of press that does not help baseball whatsoever, to have their superstar, the best player in the game, hands down, right? It's not even conversation. It's not even close.
And you and I have never seen this. We have never seen it. It's not a young thing. It's right. An old timer thing, bro.
Right.
Not even, you have to go back and really look at Babe Ruth's stuff. Yeah. Oh no, Babe Ruth did it. No, actually, no, he did not. The more he batted, the less he pitched. As he became a full-time batter, they phased him out of pitching, actually. So nobody's ever done what this guy's done.
Yeah.
Nobody can do what he's ever done, actually. It's not what they've ever done. It's nobody can do what he's done. And so it's so freakish that, yeah, he's so important. Brother, they're out there in the Far East, because this is a guy that's going to help you grow that damn game by taking it, you know, to the Far East.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Making it even bigger. Cause let's be honest. Baseball's done growing in the United States.
Yeah. It's really sad how much the sport has really declined. I mean, that was my sport growing up here in South Florida and playing it at the parks but to see, you know, the way football and basketball and every other sport has sort of taken off here in the last 20 or so years, to see how far baseball's fallen behind, this is something you certainly can't afford. Bringing back the whole gambling thing to college sports and the NCAA. Oh, as somebody who covered high schools down here for a long time Miami, I mean, do you think about the amount of gambling that just went on with high school games? You know, the times that I would quote unquote set the line, right? Every week I would make my high school picks for the high school football games, and I got to tell you, there were times when people wanted to assault me after the game because I picked Northwestern to win by 20 points and they only won by 10 or something, you know, and that's the kind of craziness. And it was coaches on the sideline, by the way. This is coaches probably gambling on their own teams, asking me why I set the line.
Or you're putting some expectations out there. The kids read it, they get fat headed, the others get motivated. So yeah, that it's all the other shit that's tied to your prediction that gets into their crawl. So I can understand.
Right. And then the people gambling it literally in the stands. You see the money exchanging and the you know, I mean, it's crazy. So do I expect it to happen in college sports? Absolutely. I think it certainly will creep in with NIL.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Maybe that's an article to find out what they're doing to prevent that.
Yeah.
Because that's it's a growing problem. Obviously, it's something that we thought athletes understood. It was taboo, but it's just happening way too much now.
There's just less and less fear of the NCAA. There's just less and less fear, right? Like, I mean, all these rules keep, you know, they keep getting shot down. So it's just more and more freedoms and, you know, as they say, the Wild West.
All right, so Pringles chips are pretty good. Tell me a little bit about Gerard Pringle.
Yeah, one of the fastest, high school seniors to be in the country out of Sefner Armwood. I think ran a 10.56 in the 100 meter dash. I think it's the fourth fastest time among all the people in the high school football recruiting database for this cycle coming up. So, you know, Miami wants to get more explosive players. Pringle ran for 1,600 yards, so he's a tough back. Saw a lot of nine-man fronts, still ran for 1,600 yards. So, you know, Mario's recruiting continues to be at an elite level. He's not going to stop going after superstars, and that's how ultimately Miami gets back to being Miami. You know, people can talk about, well, they've had talent, they've disappointed. Yes, but they also haven't had this much talent on their roster in a few years, and I think little by little, you know, you stack – running backs who can run 10.5 in the 100 meter dash, you're gonna get better. So good pickup for them, but they gotta hold on to them now. It's one of those things. I told you this last week on the show. I said this is the point where we're gonna start to see more commitments. But the real question is, do they sign in early December?
Right. And by the way, was there any truth that Mike McDaniel was trying to borrow him at times? Because
his kind of guy for sure. His kind of guy for sure. Yeah, but you know, the Pringle kid is interesting. Somebody asked me if his father played in the Canadian football. I got to find out the story with him.
Yes, dude, he was one of the best returners.
Yep.
In the CFL, the Pringle guy. Yes, I remember him. In fact, and I don't follow the CFL, but I, you know, you read enough, you end up running into headlines and they kind of stay in there. And I remember a Pringle tearing it up back in the day. In fact, he might have been right around the time of Jonathan Avery. How about that? I think Avery, ooh, look, Manny froze. There we go. Is he unfreezing yet? Has he unfrozen? Frozen in time. Manny Navarro. Look at him. It's just, he's staring. See, that's it. Like, he can't really do that in real life. Just stare like that without blinking. See, that's the kind of face that wins in a poker match right there. You can't read it. You don't know what's going on. What kind of a hand does he have? Does he have a full house? Does he have nothing? Just a pair of sixes? You know, that kind of stuff. Look at that. In fact, he signed on another window so we can unfreeze. Look at that.
There we go. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened. But
I don't know. We still have a frozen window there. Like, you at his frozen window. Let's talk to Manny with Manny. Okay.
See, yeah.
Oh, it disappeared. Oh, damn it. We had it for a moment there. Oh. What happened, Sean? Why did it disappear?
I don't know. It dropped finally.
Finally dropped?
Yeah. His name is Michael A. Pringle. Michael Pringle. Mike Pringle for the Canadian Football League.
Right.
And then he played in the NFL. He was signed twice. It doesn't say anything about kids or anything.
Yeah, I got to get to the bottom of it.
It does say that he owns the Max Muscle thing now, so I don't know what that is.
Well, he's I know he went to school in California, and I think...
Oh, that's where he is. He's in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so maybe he's related to him somehow. Maybe it's an uncle, cousin, who knows.
Wasn't he a great returner in the CFL?
Yeah.
Is that what it was, Sean?
A lot of speed. Great running back.
Wait a minute. I can't hear you, Sean.
I'm coming in right now. Just come in.
Okay.
He was voted number 4 in the CFL's top 50 players of the league's modern era by Canadian Sports Network.
Yeah, I remember him. And I want to say that he played in the same era with Jonathan Avery, from here. The failed Dolphin draft pick.
Right.
He actually went to Canada and actually had a decent career and was a good returner there and all that. And I think Pringle and him played like in the same era of that. Jonathan Avery. Damn, that was
one of the many great picks by the Dolphins, huh?
Yeah, no, Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, Jonathan Avery. Yeah, he picked Avery. And I remember Avery would have multi-flavored Kool-Aids in his, right? And he would get a jug of water and then load it up with a bunch of Kool-Aid. And we'd ask him, he goes, "It's the only way I can stay up in meetings." And so, you know, after locker rooms, at that time, they would go into a meeting after that. And sure enough, you'd see John Avery walk in with a big old jug of water, and then he'd pick a different flavor out of his locker room, and he'd load it up so he can have that sugar the entire time during the meeting. Because if not, Jimmy would have his ass if obviously he fell asleep. You know what I mean?
Those pre-Red Bull days, huh?
Yeah, pre-Red Bull days. Yeah. You need the real sugar before the Red Bull stuff, yeah.
Yeah,
crazy stuff. All right, what else you got going on in the athletics so folks can check you out?
Yeah, we're going to have those all Florida and all Georgia teams for recruiting in the modern era coming out soon. My editor was finishing it up this weekend, so that'll be coming out soon. And I'm going to be going to Miami on Thursday to go watch some of the Canes practice. I'll do like a little mid-camp report. People, you know, want information constantly on what's happening out there, and it's like, dude, they're just practicing. Like, it's
anything. Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, other than seeing Cam Ward throw the ball, which it looks great when he throws the ball, you know, you just look at the roster and you say, well, there's a lot of important key guys out that are that had surgery or that are coming off injury, and then you know, there's a bunch of freshmen that aren't going to probably play. You know, that's what you're watching. You're watching the future, essentially. So, but I will say this for the Miami fans and the college football fans in general, I think April 15th, that new window, get ready. There's going to be a lot of movement, player movement in college football. Guys that could be good players leaving Miami or coming to Miami or Florida State or whatever. You're going to see a lot of player movement. And it's just the way college football is now. You have these two windows.
Is there a position we as Canes fans should be looking at that they might be going after?
Well, I think certainly somewhere in the secondary, you know, after losing Cam Kitchens and James Williams, I think safety is a position that you could see them address. I think running back, you know, they had one of their guys leave in the middle of camp, right? Their leading rusher the last 2 years, Henry Parrish. I think running back, and if there's an experienced running back who becomes available, you know, the way Mario looks at it, and for the fans who get disappointed with this, right, and see players leave and go, and hey, this guy just got here, they just recruited him, or hey, this guy just transferred in last year. What I would tell you is Mario's not trying to just build the roster up. He's trying to win a championship. He's trying to make a championship roster. And the easiest way to do that is the best players in the portal. And if they become available and Miami can buy them and get them to come here, that's something he's going to explore. And so I think you're going to see a lot of player movement in the second, third week of April.
All right. There you go. Follow him on Twitter. And Manny_Navarro, and make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
All right, brother. Good talking to you. Take care.
You got it. All right. Don't forget, folks, Caneswear. If you go personally to 2655 South University Drive in Davie, you can use our code BIGO10. You will get 10% off. And if you go online, well, you can. If you order over $99, you'll get free shipping. And you use our code BIGO10, you will get 10% off at Caneswear.
Welcome to Caneswear. New store, new items, same great experience. Family owned and operated since 2010, Caneswear has the latest merchandise from the Miami Hurricanes, Miami Dolphins, Florida Panthers, Inter Miami CF, and more. Come visit us at our store in Davie on University Drive, just south of 595, or online at caneswear.com. Caneswear, the spot Miami fans shop.
All right, all right, all right. Mr. Spock says, situational football in 2024 season, McDaniel needs to be the best version of himself. Don't get cute on short yardage situations. Amen to that. When the president of El Salvador has done with crime and the economy is amazing. Well, Oscar, you can now go to El Salvador to go hang out, go vacation. Maybe you want to open up a business. Maybe El Salvador might be a good place to open up a business, because El Salvador is a place that's just growing now. You know, what Bukele did there. Now, you know, some people tell you he might have gone to a little bit of an extreme, but unfortunately, it's, you know, this, it's really tough in this world to try to do the right thing without doing the wrong thing at times, right? And what I mean by that is you clean the streets up in El Salvador, you get rid of all the gang violence. It was the murder capital of the world. You are now one of the safest countries in the world, okay? But you had to take drastic measures. And unfortunately, some people probably did get caught up in the whole thing that maybe didn't deserve to get caught up in it. And I'll give you a different extreme and then the polar opposite example of it. Okay. And I'll explain it. Right now, Israel's in the middle of a war with Hamas, and they're in the middle of it. They're also killing a ton of innocent Palestinians, okay? Because there happens to be a ton of innocent Palestinians stuck in the middle of all of this, okay? But the only way to get rid of Hamas is by completely stripping it to the bone and making sure that you get rid of all of it, right? But now Israel's creating problems for themselves, because now they're creating more hate. And this is why that whole area has always been like this for 1,000 years. And you're not going to change it, because now you ruin so many Palestinians' lives. How are they going to be? How are they ever going to, you know, like the Jews? They're not, right? The polar opposite. Some of you out there, like a buddy of mine asked me the other day, it was like about a month and a half ago, he told me, bro, why don't we just go into Yemen and blow the place up and get rid of all those Houthis? And I go to him, yeah, we could do that easily. But why do you think we haven't done it? Oh, no, because we're wussies. Well, you know, I'm not here to defend Biden, whatever. But the reason why they haven't done it, why? It's because the Yemen people are like the Palestinian people. And there's a lot of Palestinian people that aren't Gaza. And there's a lot of Yemen people that have nothing to do with the Houthis. So if the United States goes into Yemen and starts blowing everything up, then we start creating one of those crises. And now the world is up against Israel now because of the famine and everything going on there. So we're avoiding that mess. And we deal with the Houthis the way we have to because we don't want to go in there and start killing innocent Yemen people who are poor, have nothing, dude. They're like, you know, they're like Cuban people. They got nothing, bro. They're just at the whims of powerful people. Cuba and the government, they're the Houthis. In Palestine, it's Gaza. You know, what are you going to do? We have people all over the world. Russians are in jail because Putin is your leader. You have no freedoms in that country. It's just a big country that's a giant jail. So is North Korea. You know, and so what El Salvador did, it went to an extreme, but it had to go to that extreme in order to completely rebuild the entire country. For the better of the entire country, they had to do it. And they did the right thing. And they did the right thing. And he's done the right thing, you know, on Bitcoin and all that. Now, is it perfect? Is the system perfect? No, it's not perfect. But it's a hell of a lot better when where they were, where your life was on the line every day of your life. You know, that's terrible. Terrible where El Salvador was. Now it's fantastic. Shit, some of you can go retire now and buy a house on the coast there. By the way, they're out of the hurricane zone too, which is pretty cool, I think. Right? Anyway. So, yeah, what he's done is amazing. But it's crazy, man. Just crazy stuff. Everything that goes on in the world, man. There's so much craziness going on in the world. Poor Haiti. They can't get anything right. You know what I mean? And violence is always. You know, it's interesting with Haiti. It's a country that was brought together violently. You know that? I don't know if you guys know this. But like a funky stat here, in the United States, they brought over 500,000 slaves from Africa. The French brought over 800,000 slaves to Haiti. It's number one in the world. No one brought more slaves over. No one imported more slaves than them. And then they were so, the French were such the minority that then the revolt happened and all the slaves took over the island. But then happened the reparations, and then they tore down all their trees and deforestation, and you know, and then they've had one bad leader after another, and it's been a mess. And then violently they attacked the Dominican Republic. That's why the Dominican Republic will never help Haiti, because they attacked the Dominican Republic. They actually held the Dominican Republic for a while. Haitians actually controlled the Dominican Republic for a while, and that's a memory that they'll never forget. You know, and that's why you'll see, that's why the Dominicans are building a wall. That's why they will have nothing to do with the Haitians, because of their past. Because you already attacked us. And look what happens now. Now the gangs take over, and what are they doing? Hurting their own people. It's just that country has been so violent. It just doesn't stop. It's crazy. And it's almost like you need a Bukele there also, you know, to kind of like clear everything out and clean it out and let people start anew, you know. It's crazy. This stuff that goes on in the world, if you keep up with it, which I know most people don't because it's kind of boring, but it's just screwed up, man. Screwed up. What else do we have going on here? Yeah, the hip tackle, the hip drop tackle. I talked about it yesterday. I love that they eliminated it. I think it's great. Just for you younger guys out there, Lee Majors was in the TV series Fall Guy. He was also on Big Valley. Yeah, that's right. The Big Valley. Yeah. Some beautiful women in the Big Valley. Let's see what else. Pringle, great running back in the CFL. Yep. As a kid in the early 80s, when Bionic Woman would come on TV, I just stare at the screen the entire show. The lady was a total smoke show. Lindsay Wagner. I remember Lindsay Wagner. Let's see. What are you saying? It was the Portuguese and the British that brought it to Haiti? I think it was the French. It was the French, bro, because it's the French island, and then they had to pay the French back. Unless you're talking about something else. What else? The 1970s was a great time to watch television. It was more creative and not boring at all. France had control of Haiti, hence the speak French. Yeah, of course. Exactly. Yeah. It's the French. You got your history mixed up there, Rosendo. So the French were the ones that brought him over. But anyway, so crazy stuff, man. By the way, good news for you all out there. McDonald's is now going to start selling Krispy Kreme donuts. Okay? So if you're a big Krispy Kreme fan and you know, sometimes you don't have a Krispy Kreme next to you. This is one hell of a deal for Krispy Kreme, by the way. Right? Because there aren't Krispy Kreme donuts everywhere, you know, but there's a McDonald's everywhere. So they're going to sell Krispy Kreme donuts at its restaurants nationwide by the end of 2026. The rollout will start in the second half of this year, but it will take roughly 2.5 years as Krispy Kreme more than doubles its distribution to satisfy the partnership for the duration of the agreement. McDonald's will be the exclusive fast food partner for Krispy Kreme in the U.S. Shares of Krispy Kreme soared 24% in the morning of trading Tuesday after the announcement. The stock is on track for its best day ever. All right? So there you go. The partnership with McDonald's is a major opportunity for Krispy Kreme to expand its reach. It delivers its donuts to 6,800 third-party stores. As of December 31st, McDonald's has 13,500 restaurants in the U.S. and plans to open 900 new locations by 2027. Damn. We're enjoying donuts that much more? Impressive. Impressive. What else do we have going on? By the way, L'Jarius Sneed ended up signing his contract with the Tennessee Titans. 4 years, $76.4 million, $55 million guaranteed. Okay. What else do we have? Let me give you birthdays today. Let's see. Danielle Bregoli, the Cash Me Outside girl. She's 21. Diana Ross is 80. Keira Knightley is 39. Steven Tyler, 76. Kenny Chesney is 56. Nancy Pelosi, the thief, is 84. Leonard Nimoy, rest in peace, born in 31. We lost him in 2015. Martin Short is 74 years old. Paige Spiranek is 31. Good old Paige. What a smoke show, dude. Smoke shows of smoke shows. Von Miller is 35. James Caan, love him as an actor, bro. Born in 1940 on this day. We lost him in 2022. Bless you, my brother. Rest in peace. Juvenile, the rapper, is 49. Jennifer Grey is 64. This is a hell of a list, dude. Not bad. Pretty good list of birthdays today. Now let's go with music history. On March 26, in 1986, on this date, Geffen signed a Los Angeles band by the name of Guns N' Roses. In 65, on this date, Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, Bill Wyman, and Brian Jones all got electric shocks from faulty microphones during a gig in Denmark. Wyman was so bad, he was unconscious for a few minutes. In 95, Soundgarden's iconic album, Super Unknown, debuted at number one on the Billboard 200. In 2002, former Ozzy Osbourne and Motley Crue drummer Randy Castillo died from cancer. In 2006, U2's The Edge donated his guitar, a 75 Gibson Les Paul, to a charity he co-founded to help replace instruments lost or destroyed in Hurricane Katrina. In 77, Hall & Oates' Rich Girl was the number one song in the country. And in 2000, Phil Collins won the Oscar for the best original song for his tune, You'll Be in My Heart, which is on the soundtrack to the Disney animated film Tarzan. There you go. And what else? By the way, AC/DC has announced their opening act for their European tour, and it's going to be Pretty Reckless. So that's a pretty cool thing for Pretty Reckless to get that. I can't wait for AC/DC to announce their North American tour because I want to see them here. I got to see them one more time. This is the, you know, they haven't toured since 2016. So that's a long time, man. And this will be the last time I see them for sure. I've seen them several times, but I'd like to see them one more time. Remember, folks, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show, Cash App or Venmo. Lenny says, more calories for my belly, baby. I'm all for Krispy Kreme donuts. You go, McDonald's. Now we can get our fill and our salt, sugar, fats all in one fell swoop. That's right. Puff Puff Donut, Coffee, Hooter, and a Big O Show. I'm all in. Linda Evans. Yes, in the Big Valley. Yes, 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 yes. Linda Evans, beautiful. Jesus, she is so gorgeous. Let's see. The president of El Salvador had no choice but to take extreme stand on the crime issue. The gang problem was out of control for decades now. Would have turned into another Haiti. No, no, he did the right thing. You have no choice. That's what I just said. Haiti needs what happened to El Salvador. A strong hand to take over that actually is going to do something positive and create a good environment for people, which is what he's doing. It's freaking safe now, dude. Everybody can have a job. Everybody can go out at night. Like, go watch videos of El Salvador now. I'm actually dying to go to El Salvador just to do that slide, the colorful slide that they have. In that, it's like a restaurant, actually. It's actually a restaurant, but they also have that slide part of it. So it's pretty cool. Now you get on that inner tube and then you slide down. But then, you know, they're making it a destination for, you know, tourists and stuff like that. So Bukele did an excellent job there in El Salvador. He got rid of all that scum, all of it. And that was super smart on his part. His people are safe now, man, and free and all that. Now, you know, there are still things that he hasn't freed up yet, you know, so he hasn't loosened all restrictions. But where they were and where they are now, night and day, night and day. You could never go to visit El Salvador. If you're a Salvadorian person, you would never had a chance to go. You go visit your relatives, you're putting your life on the line. Now you can go vacation. You can go hang out. You can go visit your friends, family. You can go do business. And there's not a damn problem. And it's awesome. That's pretty cool, man. It's good for people to have a safe environment. And at least he's provided that. So It ain't easy, man. It ain't easy. If you look, like I, you know, just look at some of the examples you just talked about. The world's a screwed up place. It just is. Orlando, my best friend is Palestine. The Israeli army told civilians to take shelter in certain schools and then bombarded the school, killing his cousin, a teacher, and her kids. Yeah, Joey, the problem that's happened is that the Israelis hate the Palestinians. And that's all there is in that part of the world. It's just hate. Hate for each other's religions, hate for each other's nationalities, hate for whatever. And so it's just been like this for 1,000 years. And what's going on here is just going to continue it. Now, I understand that Israel had to do what they had to do because they got attacked. But now you've taken it to such an extreme that it creates even more problems. And it's just a vicious cycle. And you think there aren't going to be Palestinians that are going to want revenge? Of course. This is a terrible situation, dude. Nobody wins. Nobody wins here. Nobody wins. And when the world is watching people starve to death, it's not a good look, dude. It's not a good look. That's why we don't attack Yemen. Because we would then create the same problem. Yeah, you would eliminate the Houthis, but at the same time, you would be killing a lot of innocent Yemen people who are poor and don't have a pot to piss in. They barely have money. They barely have any money. They barely have any food. And you're going to now destroy the place that they, whatever they have left. That's what Israel's done to the innocent Palestinians. And so it's a disaster. It's a disaster. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I totally understand what Israel had to do, but it gets to a point where, man, look what's going on now. You know, it's just, it's really, really bad. And it's just cycle. It'll just be a vicious cycle. This won't be the end of it. When this ends, eventually down the line, we're going to have some more attacks, unfortunately. You know, it is what it is. Randy Castillo, drummer with Ozzy Osbourne band, died of cancer. Yes, he did. We just talked about it, A-Rod. We just talked about it right now. Just mentioned it. So, anyway. Folks, light show today. Not really a lot to talk about. And so, you know, I'm not the one that creates fake controversies. I just don't do that kind of stuff. We thank David Ferronis, Manny Navarro. We thank, of course, Sean Stanley, the man, the myth, the legend that masters his entire platform every single day. We will see you tomorrow morning. Same time, same place, same bat channel. Have a great one.